Yes, full disclaimer, we could see Jonathan the whole time when he was hiking through the woods. He really wasn't that far away. You worry about what your kids say when they come up. So we have been jumping on stepping stones for the past few weeks in September in our lectionary through Luke kind of 14 and 15. And so we've kind of been jumping over a few things. So I want to remind you where we've been, because all of our scriptures lately have felt to me about what it looks like to be a community, what it looks like when God grabs people and puts them all together in a church on a Sunday morning. So our first stepping stone was on September 1st. We talked about who we invite to the table. The Pharisees grumbling because they sat in the wrong spot, and then they'd have to get moved up or moved down based on their ranking. And we talked about how Christ eliminates the distance we put between each other. We all sit at the same table, that we all gather for the same communion. We are all fed as equals in Christ's community. And then we jumped over to the next stepping stone in Luke 14. As we heard about the ways that we commit to following after Christ and the cost that what it costs us, that sometimes we have to say no to some things in order to say yes to God. But that is what joins us. The promises that God gives us is what joins us as a community. Not because we have the same favorite hobbies or the same life story or we all believe the exact same thing about God. What joins us is that we are washed in baptism, that we are made new by God's promises every day. And then in the process of getting to today, we skip over another stone. So the story that Jesus tells that we're not reading is about a party that someone throws. And he's already invited all the guests and they're not showing up. And so he sends his servants out to go find them and, come on, it's time for the party, are you coming? And they have all these awful excuses, like I have to go wash my hair or I need to go clean the gutters. Like, why would you not go to a party for those kind of excuses? And if you want the real excuses, you have to go read Luke 14, okay? But then everybody else is invited in. The master tells his servants, go out on the streets, anybody who's there, the people who are blind, who are lame, who are crippled, those who never got the invitation, get them all in here, because this is a party worth attending. And then as Jesus finishes those stories, he says, let those who have ears to hear listen. And then we jump to the stone today, the very beginning of Luke 15. And apparently, some people have ears to listen. They've heard what Jesus is saying, and they're starting to follow, but it's not the people you'd expect. See, here are the Pharisees, who are usually set up as the ones that know the things, that they do the things right, that they are seeking after God, and they're following all the rules, and everything they do is right and good. And those aren't the people that are following. Instead, it's the tax collectors and the sinners. Just a really general phrase for everybody else, because there's a lot of people that fit under the category tax collector or sinner. It's the people who are out for themselves, who are taking care of their own things and happy to push somebody else under the bus or get a few bucks off of them so that they can be okay. It's the people who lie and cheat and steal, and those are the ones that are following after Jesus. And so the Pharisees, the ones that do everything right, the ones that are driven by perfection and really love and want to follow God the right way are grumbling about it. Because there's no way those guys deserve what Jesus is talking about. And I think they're extra mad because this guy who claims that he is God is not even giving them a second glance. They don't get a pat on the back in any of the stories that Jesus gives. They're just there. And Jesus is usually directing them away from what they do. And so with these two different groups listening, Jesus starts telling parables. Remember, parables aren't just a story with a moral. They're meant to kind of poke at you and get your brain thinking. They're meant to be uneasy as you try and figure out who's who in this story and what happens to it. And so with these two different groups of people, we'll hear two very different things. So today I'm going to challenge you to hear the story as a tax collector, sinner, and also to hear it as a perfectionist-driven type A Pharisee who's following after God's rules. Ready? So Jesus starts off, "Now which one of you having 100 sheep," because now you're all shepherds, "and one of them wanders off, which one of you would leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that has traveled away?" Now your chances of finding a sheep in the middle of the wilderness are slim to none. And once you find it, you found it. Amazing! You throw a party, and you invite everybody over and say, "Come celebrate with me, the sheep that ran off, I found it, and I brought it back." And Jesus says, just like that, there is so much rejoicing over in heaven over one sinner that comes back, that is found and dragged back to the group, than the 99 who need no repentance. And then which one of you having 10 coins and losing one? Now this is a coin that you've worked all day for. This is a full day of pay. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck, every day you get paid and you lose one of it. Which one of you wouldn't light all the lamps in your house and sweep your dirt floor until you see that tiny little corner of a coin and find it? Anybody ever search for something by lamplight? I'm not talking those Coleman LEDs. Candle. In a dark room with no windows. Sweep the floor and find that coin. Which one of you would take all that time? Yeah. And when they find it, you throw a party. Now, what does a party involve? People. And what do people always need? Food. And how much money do you usually spend on food? Too much. So here she is. "I found my coin. Let's spend it so we can go have a party." And then you just lost it again. Wait a second. And Jesus says, the same way, there is that much rejoicing in heaven with all of the angels when one person repents. So now what do you hear? Let's start with the easy one. As a tax collector and a sinner, what do you hear in that story for yourself? This is participation part of my sermon. Yes, tell me. What do you hear?
Find something that's going to make your life better.
Find something that makes your life better. What else do you hear in those stories?
Hope for me.
Go, Robert. Yeah. So you know these kind of stories for people who lose their dogs and find it and have a party. You just told your own parable. Good job. I hear in this
persistence.
Nice. Yeah. Anybody else before I? The value of the one. And I hear in this, as a tax collector and a sinner, you mean God rejoices over me? When I make a mistake and I listen and I apologize, or maybe I read Psalm 51 because that's just a beautiful way of saying I know I've screwed up. You mean God rejoices over me? And that God searches after me? Go ahead. That he accepted us for who we are. Wandering sheep, lost coins, and God rejoices over me. So now you are a tax collector and a Pharisee, and you've done everything right your whole entire life. At least that's all you're going to own up to, is that you've done everything right your whole entire life, and you hear this story about a sheep being brought back and a party thrown, and somebody finding a coin, and you have a party. What do you hear in these parables?
What a waste.
What a waste. Yeah, this is my favorite part. You leave 99 in the wilderness, you go off and find one, and when you come back, now you only have 83 sheep, and guess what? Because the rest of them have wandered off. What about the 99 that were doing the right thing? So they could be the, well, what about us? Yeah, what else?
Punishment,
those guys deserve, like, put the bell on that sheep and tie it down somewhere. Yeah, shame on them. And so I hear as a Pharisee now, God's rejoicing over them. They don't deserve that. Because remember, the Pharisees are the ones that are working so hard to do everything right that the people who aren't even trying, that are wandering in their own little place, they don't deserve God's grace. And here's where the nail hits the head. Because when Jesus told the story about the 99 that wander, or the one that wanders, and he says, much rejoicing over the one that returns than the 99 who need no repentance. So here you are, a Pharisee, saying, I've done everything right. I've never done anything wrong. I have no need to repent. Guess what? They're missing it. They're missing it. They're thinking that everything that God gives them and all the ways that God interacts with them is because they are good, because they did something right, where God does not work that way at all. God looks at us just as we are and says, I love you, and you are worth hunting after. You are worth lighting all of the candles that I have and spending all of the time and money that I have to come after you and find you and to drag you back where you belong, back into that community. And if we think that God does things because we earn it, we're going to get jealous when somebody else who doesn't deserve God's grace, we're going to get jealous and grumble and be mad. And that's what divides a community, is forgetting that we are all the lost sheep and we are all the lost coin. And it isn't us and our own self-help that have brought us to this place. It isn't even us driving by and going, oh, look, there's a Lutheran church. Let's try that one. It's because God is the one that's pulling us together. One of my favorite stories flipped past my husband's awareness this week. It's from 7 years ago, and then I went and searched it up again. There is a touring group that went through Iceland. And this group was searching the volcanic caverns and enjoying the canyon. And one of them went back, must have gotten dirty, changed clothes, and rejoined the group when they were ready to get on the bus. But as they're standing there, they're going, wait a second, where's the Asian lady that had on dark clothes? She spoke really good English, but where'd she go? We don't see her. And so they all started a search party through the caverns, through the canyons, trying to find this missing person from their group. And it wasn't until 3 o'clock in the morning that she recognized they were looking for her. She was in the search party searching for herself with the rest of the group. And my favorite part of the story is that she was quoted saying, well, I didn't recognize the description of myself and I didn't realize I was lost. There's the Pharisees, that they didn't realize they were lost. And in the busyness of us trying to get all of life right, oh my goodness, there's so many moving parts to life. So in all this busyness and this chaos of trying to get our lives right and being caught in and pulled in by news that everything is wrong and all of the things that weigh on us, it is hard to remember that there are things worth rejoicing in. That we are here to rejoice in one another and in what God's Spirit is doing in us and in them and in you and in me, what God is doing to him and for her and for us as a community, that is worth rejoicing in. And if you find yourself in a place not ready to rejoice, maybe you're the one lost. God is hunting you up. But here's the promise, is that God will not stop searching, that God will not stop sweeping, and God will not stop climbing and digging you out of whatever hole you find yourself in. God will not quit searching for the ones that he loves who are lost. And that is worth rejoicing in today.